I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And here we are with a new camera. It finally came in. You know, this is one of those times when you look at Amazon.com and you keep watching it and you keep watching it and you keep thinking, when is it ever going to get here? You know, the little tracking thing where you can track your package? Yeesh. I mean, so we only had the biggest snowstorm that we've seen in probably 15 years? Why should that stop them? Whatever happened to snow and sleet and hail and all those things not stopping the Postal Service? Well, it did this time. By the way, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters because we are broadcasting across the interwebs. Yes. So it's like this. I ordered my new camera, which, by the way, this is the big thing that I said was going to be the coolest thing ever for doing the show. You can't tell what that is, probably. But it's a remote control. How cool is that? I can zoom in. Check that out. And zoom out with a remote control. Now, that's not the only thing that's cool about this camera. It also has a CMOS Pro sensor, the Canon CMOS Pro sensor, which gives me clarity. My beard has never looked so fuzzy. Yes. And maybe I should say sharp. Fuzzy implies non-focused. It is actually quite thoroughly focused. Anyway, you get the idea. So, you know, interesting. It has autofocus, but it usually puts up a little doohickey that tells you that it is autofocusing. But I may have turned it off when I was playing with the controls. So we shall see. It actually looks quite good, so I'm not going to fool with it. So there you go. Anyway, so what it is. It is a Canon HF. No, wait. I knew that didn't sound right. A Canon Vixia HF R50. Yes, Fred's got it on the screen. You can see very clearly what it is. But anyway, yes, I formerly had a Canon Vixia HF R20. So this is at least 30 points better. It's a different model. It's a newer model. And has cooler features. Like the aforementioned remote control, which I'm all into the remote control because I can do things. Anyway, and the clarity, because of the CMOS Pro sensor, much bigger sensor, much better in low light conditions. Now I have studio lighting in here now, but even so, even while I was testing, I noticed that, dude, the low light ability of it is awesome. So, coolness. So let's talk about the show, shall we? I'm so enthused about the camera. I just got it today. I had to actually go to the post office. I called them early this morning and I said, dudes, the thing says you tried to deliver the camera and there was only 8 inches of snow on the ground. What's up with this? And they went, yeah. So I said, do you have it there at the post office? They said, yes, we do. I said, don't move. I'll be right there. So I took off. That was early this morning. Come to find out, they didn't even open until 9, so I had to sit outside in the parking lot, twiddle my thumbs, and wait. Yes, I know, it's like a little kid at Christmas. Did I mention it has a remote control? I mean, come on! Anyway, but that's not the least of what I got. I also got a cable for my microphone, so it's now no longer trying to fall over and pull over cables and things, which is good. So I got the camera, the remote control, which was additional purchase, and the cable. All today. So this is the whole new setup. It's much better than it was, believe me. Last week was a mess. If you could have seen behind the scenes, you would have gone, never mind. Anyway. So, first item this week. Google is planning to offer 10 gig internet with Google Fiber. Dude! 10 gig? Are you kidding? Now, I have 30 symmetrical, which is really awesome. That's 30 megabits per second. This is 10 gigabits. Dude. I mean, think about it. That's 1,024 megabits times 10. I mean, the mind just... You know what I'm saying? Dude. But anyway, they're working on a technology that will provide data transfer speeds over the internet that are many times faster than the current Google Fiber service that's in Kansas City. Now, that currently offers speeds of 1 gigabit. So that would be 1,024 megabits. I have 30 megabits. That's 1,024 megabits. So you see what I'm saying? That's pretty good. This would be 10 times that. The mind just boggles. Anyway, they're working on these speeds of 10 gigabits per second. Chief Financial Officer Patrick Pichet, or Pichet, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, said during the Goldman Sachs Technology and Internet Conference, so, we got speed coming, dudes, and I've got ways to use it. Not the least of which is video on demand, like this show. Yes. Windows 8 sales are weak, he said with a smile. Microsoft's hurting. You know what I'm saying? I messed up when I posted this article. I'll fix it. I didn't put the link in the linkage. So I'll fix that. Anyway, this is an article by Mary Jo Foley, who is the Windows Maven for ZDNet. That sounds very official, doesn't it? Windows Maven. She says, it's been a while since Microsoft execs shared an official count of licenses of Windows 8 sold. Last time we got a tally was in May of 2013 when the softies, the Microsofties, said the company had sold more than 100 million licenses. However, on February 13th, just a few days ago as I record this, Microsoft Executive Vice President of Marketing Tammy Reller casually dropped an outdated figure, or excuse me, updated, I should say, not outdated, an updated figure of 200 million Windows 8 licenses sold. She made that remark during an appearance at the Goldman Sachs Technology and Internet Conference. Apparently, there was a lot going on at that conference. At any rate, that's still actually, it sounds like a lot, but it's still actually pretty weak. Know what I'm saying? So, oh, by the way, as if Microsoft wasn't already in some trouble, Windows may now soon be available. May now soon? That doesn't actually make a lot of sense. May soon be available on Google Chromebooks. You might say, how is that possible? Chromebooks are basically designed for the Chrome operating system, which is a version of Linux. Well, guess what you can do? You can run Windows on a view session, for instance, like VMware View. You can publish that to the internet and create a service, desktop as a service, as it says there on the screen. Desktop as a service, DAAS is the abbreviation. Okay? So, if you do that, and if you're VMware, and are very good at doing that, as they are, I should know I'm a VMware engineer, and I've done that, and we do it for our company. And we have lots of view sessions available as a service to our customers, meaning our clients there locally and vendors and people of that nature that need to connect into our system. And it works very, very well. As a matter of fact, I mentioned this about my Chromebook, that I use a view session on the Chromebook when I connect to work. So basically what Google said is, you know, if we make a strategic agreement with VMware and they offer desktop as a service, then anybody that has a business that wants to use a Chromebook and still has legacy Windows applications. Now, let me explain that to you. Basically, businesses are still running applications on Windows to a large extent, okay? Over the past, let's say, 10 to 15 years, there has been a movement, a very slow movement, to basing applications on web browser technology, okay, in other words, web applications. It's been called webifying them. And then businesses can have their applications come across web service, web browsers, and avoid the whole need to run strictly on Windows. As long as you've got a web browser, you can get into the application. So that's been happening slowly, but there's still a lot of old legacy applications around that only run on Windows. Well, now, if you have desktop as a service offered from VMware through Google to Chromebook users, they can get in and use their Windows application until it finally gets webified, and then they don't have to use it anymore. So it's a bridging technology. See what I'm saying? Dude. So basically, Google and VMware are getting together to do what I've already done. Ha 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 ha. Yes. Gotta love that. Whoa! Okay, Fred. See, Fred said, you haven't mentioned me all program, and now I'm going to have to get your attention with a Geek Software of the Week. Sorry, Fred. I was excited about my new camera. Dude, you do a lot for the show, and I appreciate it, so just chill, okay? Yeesh, where's the love indeed? Anyway, this Geek Software of the Week is Nearsoft's CSV File View. Now, this is cool stuff. Once again, it is a free utility, freeware being free because it's free. Free. Reminds me of Mork and Mindy. Well, Mork one time, you know, he came to Earth in a spaceship that looked like an egg. And he saw little eggs, chicken eggs, in the refrigerator and said, whoa! So he threw one into the air and said, I set you free! And it fell down and went splat. So occasionally I think of that and go, I set you free! Anyway, it's freeware. That's the whole point. So, Geek Software of the Week CSV File View. What's it for, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. It's for viewing CSV files. CSV file is a comma-separated value file. Okay? CSV. And said file is highly useful because it's just text, regular text, or numbers, or whatever, with commas in between each occurrence of a piece of data. Or data. Okay? So, if you have row after row after row of these comma-separated value strings, then you can view them in what effectively looks like a spreadsheet. Okay? And now you could do that if you had LibreOffice and you import CSV files into LibreOffice, or if you're unlucky enough to have Microsoft Office, you can do it with Microsoft Office Excel as well. But anyway, I digress. The point is, this utility is small, it's light, and you can point at a CSV file, open it up, and see all your data fields neatly arranged. You can delete columns. You can basically do with it what you would if you were just wanting to slightly manipulate a comma-separated value file, a CSV file. Really cool stuff. Now, It does more things as well. You can sort the lines by one of the fields. You can remove one or more columns. You can select one or more lines. You can save them into other commonly limited files, another commonly limited file, or to XML, or to an HTML file. That's pretty handy. You can also open web server log files with it. Now, that's cool. Like an Apache log file, and then check out, you know, the information in that comma-separated file. So now that's pretty doggone cool. Okay? So this geekware... this geek software of the week is highly useful and free. So, like R... As R... many other of the NIRSOFT utilities, NIRSOFT, NIRSOFT utilities. Okay? Okay. Last item is a little opinion piece that I wrote on why Microsoft is extending Windows 7 availability for businesses. Now, the first thing you got to understand is Microsoft is extending Windows 7 availability for businesses. You might say, why are they doing that, Dr. Bill? Well, I'll tell you. In my little article here, it's highly opinionated, as you soon will see. Microsoft has never been that bright. I started off with a bang. However, for a long time, they have been very arrogant. This is clearly demonstrated by what's going on right now with Windows XP, Windows 7, and Windows 8.x. In other words, 8 and 8.1. Windows XP, as of right now, has about 30% of the market of all PCs connected to the internet. Now, that's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? That is an enviable position for any company to be in. However, as much money as Microsoft makes from Windows and from having that big a market share, they continually shoot themselves in the foot. Sound effects. Yes. Windows 7 was a good, high-quality version of Windows. Yes, I said that. Jim Bob, not his real name, at work is probably going, what? Yes. In fact, I still use it at work, Windows 7. Then Microsoft came out with Windows 8. Now, there's a lot of things I like about Windows 8, okay? It is very stable. Haven't had it crash yet. It is graphically very fast due to combining its DirectX technology directly, building it into the operating system. However, it has a terrible, ugly user interface. That's the Metro interface, in case you're wondering. Ugly! Its mother dresses it funny with big, stupid boxes. Anyway, none of Microsoft's customers are embracing the interface. Well, there are a few suckers. I mean customers that are supporting the interface, but I'm convinced that they mainly support it because they want to look cool and act like they've moved into the future and the rest of us haven't. So, that's their attitude. Literally, I've seen that attitude in comment strings, in articles. It's like, well, I've moved on. You old dude, you old fuddy duddies, you haven't moved. You got to get up with the program. Yeah, right. It's a sorry interface, dude. Anyway, but let's be honest. This interface is pretty much useless unless you have a touchscreen. I think anybody would admit it's fairly useless without a touchscreen. Now, most businesses don't have touchscreens on their computers, and they're not likely to get them anytime soon. So in the meantime, what are you supposed to do? Well, you and I both know that we can download the open source classic shell.net, as it says there on the screen, and fix the problem with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. However, you'd be surprised how many people don't know about classic shell.net. No matter how loud I stand on my soapbox and tell them about it, they still don't know. What's up with that? Plus, to be honest, most businesses don't want to have to use an open source utility just to fix the graphical user interface of the operating system they paid a lot of money for when they purchased their PCs. I mean, think about it. You buy a brand new PC without a touch screen, and you end up having to download a free utility developed by open source developers just to be able to effectively use your new computer. How completely stupid is that? How completely stupid is Microsoft? The answer is, of course, extremely stupid. I did say it was opinionated, didn't I? And now, because they no longer support Windows XP, or at least they won't as of April of this year, they're now alienating 30% of the Windows marketplace that have not yet upgraded. Smooth move, Microsoft! Yeesh. And now there are alternatives that most non-tech-savvy users can actually learn to use very easily. The major example, of course, being Google Chrome on the Google Chromebook. And Microsoft is watching aghast as the market share of Chromebooks is increasing steadily while the market share of Windows is dropping precipitously. I like to use words like precipitously. Makes you think I'm smart. Yes. It doesn't take a lightning fast mind to figure this out, but Microsoft's never been known for having a lightning fast mind. Know what I'm saying? So, what appears to be happening is that the market is realigning. That's a good computer tech term. It's realigning. Chromebooks are growing in popularity. People will be forced off Windows XP. Microsoft will die a slow and agonizing death. And of course, that suits me. Yes. And now, in a burst of brilliance, Microsoft has decided to extend the length of time that businesses can buy Windows 7 because businesses don't want to move to Windows 8 since the interface stinks. Now, on the face of it, this may seem like a good move. After all, it slows the bleeding of their market to a certain extent. But if they weren't arrogantly insisting upon forcing everyone to an interface that nobody wants in the first place, then perhaps they could simply take the good things about Windows 8, add back in the interface that everybody really wants to use to begin with, and have a winner in the operating system arena. Now, that would make the most sense, which is why I'm not holding my breath. You know what I'm saying? There you go. An opinion piece from Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, in all of my curmudgeonliness. Whoa. All right, well, that's just about it for this week. Hope you enjoyed a show that actually came out at the right time with a nice new clear picture quality, thanks to the new camera. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.